You may be seated. In the name of the Father, the light creator, the Son, the light of light begotten, and the Holy Spirit, the light revealer. Amen. Dear saints, we consider especially Matthew chapter 28. I'll read sections again on this, the day of the Holy Trinity. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Dear saints, when you meet somebody for the first time, they will likely ask to get your name, and then they will likely ask what you do. Holy Trinity Sunday is a wonderful opportunity to be introduced or reintroduced to God. And every day is a wonderful opportunity to get to God, to get to know God a little bit more. So today, God tells you His name. And He tells you a little bit about what He does. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One would think that would be three names, but Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And what does God do? Well, a little bit of everything. Or maybe a bit of everything. Or maybe He actually just does everything. Jesus says, after all, that all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Him. Everything is under His rule. Everything is from His power. Everything is under His order. St. Paul says that it is from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. But all things is a lot to comprehend. And who can understand the mind of God? So for centuries, Christians have considered who God is and what God does in these very three specific ways. As they have meditated on the Father, they say, God creates. That's something you can't do. God alone does that. He creates. And the Son redeems. He saves. That's something you can't do, but He does that. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit who makes holy. He makes things and people that are not holy, holy, like you. You are not holy in and of yourself. But the blood of Jesus is upon you. The forgiveness of sins has been applied to you. You are brought back into communion with God. You are brought near. And so, dear saints, you are holy. Holiness in the scriptures is not so much a moral quality, but a distance. High and lifted up, Isaiah had said. God is way up there and He is huge. And the train of His robe, just a little bit of His clothes, fills this massive temple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. He's really big and He's really powerful. And yet this very big God and very powerful God has come down to be with us. Not to destroy us, but to save us, to love us, to remind us of who we are to Him. Holy Trinity Sunday is a good day to be reintroduced to God, and a wonderful opportunity to get to God, to get to know God a little bit better. And it is a wonderful opportunity to be reintroduced to yourself and to get to know you a little bit better. And as we consider the scriptures have us considering not in so much of who we are as in what we do, but in who we are as ones who receive things, as ones who are given things. You are given life. You did not create yourself. You are preserved. You are not keeping yourself alive. You are saved. You did not save yourself, and you cannot fix yourself, and you cannot bring yourself closer to God. God saved you and came down so that He might be close to you. And you are not holy in yourself, but God has made you holy. So who are you, dear saints? Well, consider this. You are one under authority. That's kind of a dirty word in our culture. We don't like authority. But we do. What we don't like is we don't like it when people abuse authority. Today is Father's Day. And for those of us that can rejoice in good fathers, we are rejoicing in authority. That as a kid, I didn't have to worry about what I was going to eat because Daddy was going to feed me. And I didn't have to worry about who was going to protect me because Daddy was going to protect me. I was under His protection. I was under His preservation. I was under His authority. To be under authority, dear saints, is such an amazing blessing. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and you are under Him, and you are under His rule, and you are under His authority, and you are under the way things are underneath Him, and He does not abuse it. He is good, and He is gracious. And you do not have to wonder how you are going to fix things because you don't have the authority to fix things. Jesus does. And you don't have to figure all things out because Jesus knows all things and He loves you. And you don't have to figure out how you're going to defend yourself or provide yourself because you live first and foremost as one who is under His protection and His provision. You are under one authority. Jesus speaks about the abuse of authority all the time. Jesus says, I know some of you don't like authority, but that's because they say that they use their authority for their own service, to serve their own needs. But I am among you as one who serves you, and to give my life as a ransom for many. As I do unto you, so you do unto others. Right. To be under authority means that you say what He says you are. And you begin to do what He says you should do. Right. We still have this authority in this world. You think of the military, right? And if somebody above you says you should do something, then you don't question it. And if somebody above you tells you to say something, then you don't question. You even have to ask for permission to speak because you are under authority. And we have this in the workplace, and we have this in the family, and we have this in the government. To be under authority means that you say what Jesus says you are. You do not say what the world says you are, and you do not say what your sin says you are, and you do not say what your sickness says you are, and you do not say what your failures say you are, and you do not say what your depression says you are, and you do not say what your anger or your impatience or your lust or your doubts or your fears say that you are, because you are one under Christ's authority and his rule and his order and his power. You are not under that. You say who Jesus says you are. And as Christians, that means we say, I am created. He gave me life because he loves me. And he preserves my life because he loves me. That God made me and all creatures, and he still takes care of them. And that I am redeemed. I am saved. That Christ purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own. I am under him. And he gave his life for me. He protects me from sin and from death and the power of the devil. I don't have to worry about who's going to do that, because he said he will do that. And I am being made holy. I was separated from God, away from God. But the Holy Spirit has brought me back into communion with God, who is love. Our Isaiah reading reminds us that God is high and lifted up, holy, holy, holy. But that he came down to unclean me and guilty me and atoned for me and take my guilt away and brought me back into his rule of love. I am in. I am in his family. I am united with Christ. He has chose me, and he is, oh, so close. He is not set apart. I am baptized into. I have been moved into the name and power and authority of God. We sing those words, holy, holy, holy. We sing them as our opening hymn today. We actually sing them every single Sunday. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. And we sing them at this most wonderful time in the church service. We sing them right as we are getting ready to receive the body and the blood of Jesus. We sing that God is so high and that he is so lifted up and that he is so powerful, but that this God who is so high and lifted up has come down and he is going to touch my lips and he is going to atone for my sin and he is going to take my guilt away. He has come to me and he makes me holy. When Isaiah sees the Lord, he says, woe is me. I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, and my eye has seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That is not mere inconvenience from Isaiah. It is sheer terror. He realizes he is in the presence of God, and he deserves God's wrath. He deserves God's punishment. Woe is me, dead is me. I deserve to die, and I know it. I am unclean, and the brighter his light is, the more I realize I am dirty. And then a seraphim, one of the angels, takes a part of the altar, takes a flaming coal, and he touches it to the lips of Isaiah, and he says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. He comes to you. He pays for your sins. He takes on the wrath that we deserve so that we might know he is at peace with us. And that this massive chasm that would separate us from God, he himself has bridged. and he comes down. I was reading one of the early Christians and made a wonderful point. I'd never thought of it before. But that the angel had taken a coal, and a coal is a piece of wood that is on fire. It's burnt wood. And how has Jesus atoned for you? How has Jesus paid for your sin? But on the wood of his cross. As he has received the fire of God's wrath for you, dear saints, your guilt is gone. Yeah. Your sin is atoned for. So consider again what your name is and what you do. And consider that you bear the name of God upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you are God's work. Beautiful. He loves you. He created you. He has brought you back into himself. He has paid for your sin. That is all of Jesus' work. So before you go to work, rest in his work. Confess your baptism. Believe and live under the name of God. Do not trust in your own name. Do not trust in your own work. You too often try and make a name for yourselves, and you hurt others, and it hurts you. You too often try and live under your own authority and your own order, and it is a disaster. Your name is not enough. You do not have enough power, and your works are not only enough, your works are selfish and unclean. Woe is you unless Jesus pays for you and brings you back into himself and stamps his name and authority upon you. And that is what he has done. You trust in Jesus. You say, me, my name, my works, I've failed. I've hurt others, I've sinned against God, but that's not who I am. I am God's. I am created. I am redeemed. I am made holy. That is my identity. I bear the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I take his work and his name. And Jesus' work and his name is the salvation and my future. For his name and his work are good, and they will last forever. He wanted his name upon you. So who are you? You, dear saints, are baptized. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and he is with you always. That means that no matter where you are, and that no matter when it is, you belong to him. He belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.